The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path.'" John the Baptist appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey. And this is what he proclaimed: "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. What gets in the way? What gets in the way? That's the question for each one of us this week, myself included, for all of us to turn over in our hearts. What gets in the way? I remember when I was a student at Belmont Abbey College and I used to drive to UNCC back in the day for Army ROTC. And I was very, very eager as a freshman to just learn everything I had to do to be the best military officer I could be. I really enjoyed it. And I remember showing up at the track for one of our first exercises outside, and it was for land navigation. And I was super excited. And I was super attentive to our instructor. And he was explaining to us how to hold level a magnetic compass. Those of you from back in the day when we had to land navigate, we had to use a map. We had to chart our points. We had to use the compass, draw lines, straight lines, all this stuff. And then we had to ultimately get an azimuth, which was a direction, pick up a magnetic compass, and then move out at a pace camp or a pace count. We didn't have the liberty of things like a GPS. So the moment came for me to take my compass for the first time, plotted all my points carefully, and headed out on the way. I was so excited. And so I was going through the woods, and there were all these different ROTC cadets in different directions. We're all going, and we're trying to find these points. 1 hour went by. 2 hours went by. 3 hours went by, and I hadn't found any points. Matter of fact, I didn't even see anybody around me. And here I was, like in this wilderness, and the sun was going down. And I hear this voice crying out, "Cadet Sutter, where are you?" And I'm like, I'm here. I'm lost. "Cadet Sutter, we're waiting for you." So thanks to that voice, I followed that voice and I was able to get out there. And that voice was the truth. The truth was I was lost. And I got back and I was the only cadet out of all the cadets who didn't find a single point. I was like, oh man, what happened? So I went to my instructor and he's like, "You got to hold the compass level and you got to," and I said, "I did. I did everything you told us. I look at my points." And he said, "Yeah, you plotted them all well. Got the right direction. Wow, that's good. Really good. You had them all. What did you do?" And I said, "I don't know. I held it really." He goes, "Show me how you held your compass." This was a captain at the time. And so I took out my clipboard and I held my clipboard and I put my magnetic compass right on top of the clipboard. It was so level. But there was a problem. The clipboard had a piece of metal right in front of it. So my compass was rendered useless. So I'm out there pace counting everything. So a moment of getting lost, a moment of navigating, and something got in the way. And what got in that way of the direction I knew with trust in that compass got in the way was that object, that obstruction. That was my experience. You may sit there and say, well, there's not magnetic compasses. And you know what, Father? That is not at all relevant to me because I've never touched one because we have technology nowadays, a lot easier. I'm like, you're right. We have GPSs. Global positioning systems, right? Linking up with satellites and all that. Well, last Sunday, spoke about it, that we all have a GPS in our heart. God created us in his image and likeness, and we are drawn towards him, called to communion with him. So our GPS is already set towards God. Our hearts were made for him, and they're restless till they're united with him. So they're really, our hearts and the heart of every human being is oriented to real, authentic love, to this God who is love. And so we have this GPS, not a global positioning system, but God's perfect system. God's perfect system in our hearts. We're created in his image and likeness. We're adopted sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. We are brothers and sisters by virtue of our baptism of the King of Kings. And we're friends of the Holy Spirit that John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness saying, he's coming. He's going to baptize you. We've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. We've received this baptism. And the Holy Spirit is our friend, the gentle guest in our soul who helps us gently to make sure we follow that GPS. We're on a journey. And not only are we on a journey, we're on a journey this Advent, but in a way, we're also, we're part of it, and we're participants in it. The greatest ever search and rescue mission ever. Ever. This God who becomes flesh and comes after us. A search and rescue mission. And he comes after you and he comes after me. And he wants to make sure we're using our GPS properly to arrive to him. But just like any GPS, he's going to give us the capability to use it freely or not use it or whatever. We got a certain bit of freedom even with that technology. And not only does he want us, does he come after us in this search and rescue mission, he wants us to be part of it, like my instructor in RTC, to say, come on, let me show you how to do it right and help you. He wants us to help others to learn to navigate, because if we don't, then we all get lost, and there's nothing worse in the military than to be a lieutenant in the infantry and to get another 30 people lost. It's miserable. I've done that. LT, we're lost. It's not fun. So God's given us capability to orient towards him and then help others in that way and help them discover that they're created in his image and likeness and they've got it in them and it's all there and we just got to use it, right? So, but the question remains, what gets in the way? What gets in the way? If we're honest, and we know John, St. John the Baptist, who was a voice in time, but there's others who can enter into our time, who can be a voice. John the Baptist wasn't the Word, he was the voice. None of us are the Word, but we can be the voice, the living Word of God. And if we're honest, and it was his utter honesty in his voice that was bringing people out, but ultimately what was bringing them out was the Word. The Word was bringing them out. The Word of repentance. Repent from your sins. So if we're honest, what gets in the way, we can whittle it all down to one word. Sin. Sin gets in the way. Like Adam and Eve from the beginning, sin got in the way. It wasn't their eyes that changed. They continued to have eyes and they could see. But it was their hearts that changed. Their GPS changed. And they found themselves lost, literally hiding, denying, and blaming each other. Or blaming Adam blames Eve, and Eve blames the snake, and everybody blames everybody else. And yet, their GPS was off course. If we go back and we take sin and we say, okay, there's got to be influencers. There's got to be, like, the thing that really just kind of impacted me, that metal right in front of it. What's the metal that gets there? What are they influencing? Something's got to be getting in there and mixing it up and confusing us. There's three influencers. Three influencers which influence us, get us off course, and get us in the direction we really, truly don't want to go. Because when we step in it, we're like, ah, I was duped. Shouldn't have done that. Number one, first influential, the devil. The devil. The devil wants us and the whole world to believe that there is no sin. If he can somehow coddle everybody in this notion that there actually is no sin, there can be a denial of sin. And if he can get everybody to deny their sin and a denial of sin, then there's absolutely no need for any kind of healing, much less a savior. The devil is smart. And he'll work in a way and work with others or whatever to really help everybody lullaby to sleep in the thought that there is no sin. So what brought everybody out into the wilderness to John the Baptist was just that acknowledging that sin exists. It exists. It exists. And Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners. So number one, influencer, the devil. Number two, the world. The world. The world was created good to lead us to God, to help us with our GPS. It's beautiful. We can come to know all that's true, that's good, that's beautiful through the world, through God's creation. And it can actually point us to God. A beautiful sunrise, a beautiful sunset. So Father, what are you talking about when you talk about the world as an influencer? Carpe diem. Seize the day. That was the old saying. Seize the day. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you'll die. Don't worry. Don't worry. The world, which can kind of get in there on all of us and interrupt and be an influencer of God's perfect system in our heart. Activity, busyness, all these things that just kind of play on us that can get us so overwhelmed. The world can so overwhelm us that we can go through a whole day and not even think about where we're walking, where we're heading. The third influencer, flesh. Concupiscence, a big word. Or, why do I do what I don't want to do? St. Paul speaking about that. It is comfort rules. Why am I inclined to do what I don't want to do? Because we're almost like magnetically, our compass can magnetically just get off and just kind of really want to lock on more to the direction of comfort. So three influencers, the devil, the world, and the flesh, our own flesh. Three detours. Three detours that we can get off, that we can get off the path. Three detours. We can either a detour in direction, right? By overriding our GPS. Just put in another address. Click. We know we're going, but no, let me just put in a new one. I want to go here. I want to detour. We are all vulnerable to these three detours. Three primary detours, otherwise described as root sins or dominant defects. All of us have one of them that if we really look at all of our sins, what gets in the way, it usually aligns towards one of these. If we really, in peace, if you ever do a really good conscience exam, it's not about a list of faults. It's also putting where you've had your victories, your successes, where you've stayed on course. More of those than faults. But to be honest with those sins and call them out and to see, okay, where are they? We can go and we can see the main ones. There's three of them. It's either going to be pride, sensuality, or vanity. Those three are root sins, and we can tie them back. One is going to dominate us more than another. One is going to interrupt our God's perfect system in us more than another. We got a little bit of all of three of them in us. We do. We have to be honest with that, myself included. We have to be honest with that. But a good examination of conscience and really just honestly looking at our day, we can see one of those three can override. Pride. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? Or it's got to be my way. This individual, this closing in on ourselves, my way. That notion of, I don't need a God, I am God, right? Sensuality. What's most comfortable? Am I always taking the most comfortable path in things? Any kind of sacrifice? No. Around the home, with my spouse, with my brother, sister, at work. What? No, it's sensuality. What is most comfortable? Let me take the most comfortable path. Third, vanity. What will others think? Not what will God think. What will others think? And it can cripple us and paralyze us and get us off course and interrupt this perfect system of God within us. Yeah, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in all of this, there are voices that cry out in our life. Like my instructor, I was lost. I was in the woods. I was doing things wrong. There are voices that can cry out that can lead us back and can show us how to do things, how to take advantage of this system in us. But what we have to do is like what I had to do in the woods. We got to turn around. We got to do a U-turn. Literally a U-turn. Y-O-U. Turn. And those voices that cry out in our lives that invite us to turn. So to come back on course and to find the best course of action, it's always available, always an opportunity. So when we turn, what are ways that we can turn away? Let's get practical here. What are we turning from? Pride. How do we turn from pride? Pride, which maybe the devil's bringing in and playing in our heart and working that over time and trying to interrupt that alignment, that direction. You want to get the devil to flee. You want to send him running. Confession. Do not fear confession. Father Mike's still in confession back there, I believe. We've done 3 hours plus confession today. We're stepping it up as much as we can, trying to make it as easy as we can. Do not fear confession, because when you come in that door and you crack that door, sometimes what happens is pride can come in. And we can think, what's the priest going to think about me? How can I say this? What's that? What will he acknowledge? That what, I'm a sinner? Yeah, he is too. And us priests have to go to confession too. And yet the counter to pride is humility. So God given us this amazing sacrament of healing. We find it when we humble ourselves. Like all those people in the Gospels that came up and humbled themselves in front of masses of people. Everybody going out to see John the Baptist seeking healing, seeking an answer. They had to humble themselves. And the ones who didn't stood on the other side of the bank, crossed their arms, and complained about this guy in camel's hair eating locusts. Don't fear confession. When was the last time I went to confession? We're offering those more hours. Please do not fear confession. It is God's way to help us. To help us counter our pride and to send the devil packing. Get out of here. I know who I am and I know where I'm going. And you're interrupting the signal of my GPS. Second, vanity. How do we counter any vanity? Vanity that come through the world, the noise of the world that could tell us certain things, whether on social media or any kind of media or different things where the world tries to get in there and get us off course. How do we counter that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. The fire of God's love in our heart. So that what happens for us is not to worry about what others may think. But more importantly, how can the fire of God's love move me to act the way He wants me to act? Prayer. Spontaneous prayer. Calling on the Holy Spirit for help. We may not do everything right, but with the Holy Spirit, when we feel weak, He can make us strong. So counter vanity in the world, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And finally, sensuality, the flesh. Why do I do what I want to do? How do I counter sensuality in the flesh, Father? Well, I'm going to give you four practical rundown of what happens when it comes to sin. There's a book, it's called The Art of Purifying the Heart by Tomas Spidlick. I want to give him credit. Tomas Spidlick, The Art of Purifying the Heart. An amazing Jesuit reflecting on the spiritual exercises and discerning of spirits and how to deal with that battle that we all have in our heart, this waging against the direction we know we need to go in, but somehow how our flesh, that concupiscence, pulls us in another direction. Think of this time of the year. You may be invited somewhere where you're going to have a lot of food, and a lot of people get all caught up in food. Oh man, I know that if I go, I'm going to eat too much. Maybe a battle with temperance. It's just an example. Sensuality, temperance, not to just eat and eat and eat. Let's say a friend came up to you and said, how do I do it? I know I'm going to this family function or something with friends or this favorite restaurant. How do I avoid that? First thing that sin comes at us where we need to do a U-turn is it's going to be a thought. You step into whatever environment, the thought comes, oh, there it is, on the table. Thought. Where we want to interrupt the signal, get things back online, is it thought? Jesus was tempted in the desert, right? After being baptized. But he, when he was tempted in thought, he immediately cut it off at thought. Thought. Danger comes when we have a conversation with thought. Oh, there's my favorite dessert. Well, I'm only going to have one. Or I've already had one, and I don't want someone else to feel bad that I didn't have two. So we start to have a conversation with this thought about what's there, what's appealing to the eyes, to the senses, and we converse. That's where we start to have problems, is enter into conversation with the thought. Then comes, after the thought and the conversation with the thought, passions. And it's in the passions where we get swept down the river. It's in the passions where we can lose control. And sin is found in consent. In consent, we just give in. So it comes at us as a thought. We can't control our thoughts. You might get a thought here, there, whatever. But it comes as a thought. Where danger comes, what'll get us detoured off track is when we start to converse with that thought. Conversation with that thought. That starts to engage our heart and our passions. Then we fall into consent. It's important to know when we're dealing with being body and soul, these temptations that come, so that you and I, with the help of God's grace, we can avoid what truly gets in our way. What gets in our way to keep us from oriented God's perfect system. It's in our heart towards what truly will complete our joy. Amen.